Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
So we're going to be having something a little bit different this morning. It's our family and friends service. Yes, so it's going to be a little bit different this morning. We're going to be having a discussion session, more like a podcast session for us to follow the conversations. Then we'll also have a link where you're able to ask. Okay, we're taking audience reaction. We're going to take audience reaction also. We would like to hear from us. So there are different kinds of friends, and this morning we'll talk a little bit about friendship and relationships. Now, relationships in the context of marriage, family, then friends, like your friends are friends. We all have, at one time or the other in our lives, connected with people that have influenced us positively or negatively. Amen. At one time or the other, you have connected with friends, you've connected with people that have played parts in your life in one way or the other. And sometimes some of these people come into your life and you just cannot forget the impact that they have made in your lives, and so in your life rather. And sometimes it is positive, it can also be negative. And when it comes to family also, we have different things that impact on our families, the things that make relationships work, the things that can affect relationship, common problems that marriages will face. So we're going to be discussing in that. So we're going to have a couple, then we're going to have two young people, and husband and wife, two young people. Then we'll discuss in the first service. Then we'll also do the same thing in the second service with different people, different conversations also. Then at the end of the day, we will now pray. Amen. We will now pray about our families. We pray concerning our friends, because the quality of people that you accept into your life will determine the quality of your life. And if the wrong set of people come into your life, everything starts falling apart. And sometimes it doesn't just happen instantly. It's something that happens, you know, just like that. Before you know it, everything is messed up already. And while the conversation will be going on, some of us will remember the kind of people that you have allowed into your life. Some of you will remember practically, this person came into my life. Some people, you know that you started a particular behavior because of the kind of person you have allowed into your life. Some people, you allowed strangers into your life and it affected your marriage. Started talking to your wife or your husband the way you would not have done. Started relating with your children differently because of the impact of people in your life. So this morning, we just want to get on the conversation. We want to talk about the deal breakers in relationship, in friendships. We want to talk about quality of friends. We want to talk a little bit about communication issues and financial stress and all that in marriage also. So prepare your hearts. Are you ready? Are you sure? Okay, so this morning we're going to be having a few people join me up here this morning for these conversations. Very simple conversation we're going to be having this morning. We're going to have Mr. and Mrs. For the couple, we're going to have Mr. and Mrs. Fabi. Can we put your hands together as they come up? We're going to have, for the singles, we're going to have Mr. Marshall and Elizabeth Dashaw. Where are they? Please come in. Come. Thank you. Keep coming. So, yes. Welcome to church. Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, so it's a good day. Welcome, everyone. Yes, so maybe you should officially introduce yourself. We would like to know you.
I'm Fabi Clement Oluwasoni.
Okay.
My name is Omowumi Clement Fabi.
Okay. I think you should help out with the mic so that I get closer. Okay, Omomi Clement Fabi, thank you. And
my name is Elizabeth Dashaw.
Elizabeth Dashaw, thank you.
Good morning, church. I am Ifeanyi Marshall.
Yeah, Ifeanyi Marshall, welcome. Yes. So we're going to go straight into the conversations this morning. We want to start with friendship. Friendship. We know that a lot of us, almost everybody here, I believe, have one friend or the other in your life. And like I said, the impact of your friends will matter a lot in your lives. And I want you to pay attention to conversations as we just flow so that we can listen and get the best out of it. So, first of all, let's start by talking about the definition of what a good friend is, what you think a good friend should look like, what are the qualities or the characteristics of a good friend. I believe at one time or the other in your life you've had friends. And we want to talk about the characteristics of good friends, definition of what a good friend is to you. So we're going to take it from there. I will also come around to this side.
All right, yeah. Sir. Good morning, Pastor, sir.
Good morning,
church, once again. So I would say a good friend is someone who embodies Christ's love and grace and is characterized by willingness to serve, loyalty, truthfulness, love, and being there for the other one.
Being there for the other person.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, have you had good friends in your life before?
Oh, yes,
always
I have.
Had bad friends?
No, I've had good friends.
Bad friends?
Mixture, you know, that's life.
Yes, sir. Okay. Can you remember one impact of the friends in your life, positive or negative impact?
Oh, okay. So, I'm the influencer of the group most times.
Wow.
Back in secondary school, I went to a boarding school. So, you know, at some point, when you're trying to settle in and people are taking your stuff, and you remember, watch from home, don't take other people's stuff. But you're seeing your friends, and your friends are about that life. So at some point, I had to go and take other people's stuff.
Start taking other people's stuff.
Yes, I started stealing people's stuff at that point. Yes, sir.
Wow, because your friends were doing it.
Yes, sir.
And that's how friends impact. Okay, Elizabeth.
Thank you, Pastor Sal.
You're welcome.
Privilege.
Yes.
So I would give friend, I'll define it in three words.
Okay.
Love, intentionality, and commitment.
Okay.
So these three things are key when I want to say I'm a friend to someone or when someone is a friend to me. Love, that's the second greatest commandment in the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's if everybody loves each other. If love thrives in a community, there's a difference.
Okay.
There is change and people no longer look for how to destroy each other, but they look for how my friend can thrive.
Okay, so when you're talking about love in the context of two friends, like your friend, what are the things that your friend will do that you translate as love? Like what?
The biggest one on my mind right now is when I can freely share things to my friend without being scared that this person is going to feel somehow.
Okay.
So, because I have something big I'm doing, I can freely share it to you and you don't feel like my progress is a threat to you.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. There are friends like that. You share things with them about what you want to do and they are reacting like, you know, sometimes some people start saying, you don't want to do the same thing. In fact, I have bigger plans. And that's like a red flag to you.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, very good. So let's move to the families. Of course, before you got married, you had friends in your life. At one time or the other, you probably have had positive or negative. Then what's your own definition of friendship? And how do you define a good friend? Then have you had anyone like that in your life? And what's the impact? Yes. Mr. Kearns.
So, thank you, Pastor Sir.
Yeah.
To me, the definition of a good friend is someone that must have like mind with you.
Okay.
Someone that must share your value and you share your own value with other people's value.
Yeah.
I can really say I've not really had a good friend.
Well,
while growing up, you know, due to the area. So there are always friends that influence negatively.
Yeah.
So, but I didn't join them. But through their lifestyle, I was able to learn how to bring other people out from such a bad character.
Okay.
So, and the impact on me made me learn a lot.
Okay.
So I learned a lot. So, and it's very useful for me today.
Now, why did you join them? Is it because you're an introvert? I guess you're an introvert, introverted person. Do you have friends?
Yeah, my wife is my friend.
Like, apart from your wife, have you had friends, like somebody my friend? I want to know, because I don't know if introverts have friends, but I know that extroverts make friends a lot. And if introverts don't have friends, how do you survive?
Generally, I make everybody my friend.
Everybody?
I don't have specific.
Okay.
I don't have specific because, I don't know. Then, while I was in the university, I tried to keep my colleagues.
Yeah.
I was the only one calling.
Okay.
They never call.
They never call.
I try to respond. At times, they may not respond back.
Okay.
So I just thought of, I can't continue this way. So let me just
be my space, my way.
Be myself and take everybody. Once you come, I'll be a friend for you for the moment.
Yeah, you saw a girl that was interested to respond to your call. Wow. Okay, so tell us. So how did you meet your husband? How did friendship thing start? Good morning.
I met my husband. Okay, so coming to friendship now, I was privileged to have good friends. Not many, but very few, and they are quality friends. So I would say a friend is a safe place. So meeting my husband was through a friend. We were in school, and back we went to school from home together. Two of us were girls. And daddy had already told us that you have to finish the first class. So getting to school, so she was trying to look for the first class by all means. So she got into a group that introduced a tutorial person to her, and that person that would take them on tutorial happens to be my now married husband.
Wow.
So
lecturer.
So she came back to me. I've gotten someone else.
Sorry, she came back, your sister.
My friend.
Okay, your friend.
Yes, we attend the same church from home.
Okay.
So the pastor is like our dad is like our pastor.
Okay.
So they had told us that it's first class and nothing. And so while looking for how to make first class, she got to meet him, and then she came and said, I've gotten someone that will take us tutorial. The person is very good. This one, that one, that one, let's go. So we started going for tutorial with him. Then, and it was just tutorial.
Okay, so during the course of the tutorialing, how did everything start?
Okay, so it was in final year, we're in 100 level, so we had tutorials, and he left school to serve. So when he came back, there was nothing after tutorial, sincerely. So when he came back for his call-up letter, he called us and went to see him and then prayed with him. We chatted and then he left. After then, he'll be sending me messages, normal message, and I will respond. So from time to time, not frequent though, he calls, I call. I mean, somebody that has been good to me, is only good that I respond when he talks to me. So then when I finished school and the messages started, then there was BBM, then the message started coming out very often. Every morning somebody sending me some beautiful message.
Wow.
And it started from there.
Can you remember any of the messages, like one line or something?
Pastor sir, those messages are plenty. I cannot remember plenty. One, but they are very influential. They are beautiful things that I want to wake up to see every morning. It got to a point that immediately I wake up, I just want to see those messages. And it's not just, they are graphics, some beautiful graphics then that you send through BBM. So I just want to wake up to see it. So I know that there is a message waiting for me when I pick my phone. And it was good for me to always check to see that somebody cares about me really and sent me this message.
Wow, that's interesting. So I think it gets back to what you're talking about, intentionality in relationships. There are some friends that are not really intentional. So what have you had any experience where you had to let go of a particular person because the person happens not to be intentional in the relationship and all that. Can you share with us something like that?
Yes. I'm not always excited to share this, but I had health issues.
Okay.
From friendship. That was a negative influence on my life.
Wow.
I had heart palpitations. I had triggered ulcer from resentment, bitterness, and anger.
Wow.
And that is why when I want to tell people, it's best for you to find a friend, stay there, know that this our goals are alike, know that we love each other, than you have a friend that is killing you. But many people don't know that some of the health issues that they have did not necessarily come from what you are eating. It's coming from your emotions. It's triggering something. Your stomach is tightening up. You're angry and your stomach is like tightening up and you're like, I can't breathe well. You don't know. It was because you were hungry.
Yeah.
Like, it was because of resentment. So I had that while I was in school.
Wow. Seriously? So sometimes it's possible that your friends impact you negatively to the point where it brings maybe a sickness or something.
Yeah.
And there's emotional health challenges that people really have that can be traced to, you know, connecting with wrong friends, just like physical health issues too.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So how about we talk about your understanding of the impact of friends in your life? Now, you just said your own. I would like to know your own. We know you are the influencer. But how have you influenced people, positive, negative? Did you do it? Do you do it intentionally when you want to influence people, or it just happens by chance? How do people influence people to start behaving in strange manners?
So I'm sanguine by nature, right?
Yeah.
And I'm sometimes the life of the gathering. So from upbringing, you know, your parents raised you right, and there are certain characters. So I owe it to my siblings, my elder siblings. You know, they want you to be the best. So I'm the only boy in the house. So my elder siblings will be like, oh, we want you to be this type of person every woman wants to marry, you know. So going out, I try to inculcate all of those habits I've learned. So when I see certain things in my friends and I don't really fancy them, I'll be like, how far? Why don't we do it like this? Let's do it like that. So one time back in school, 100 level, the less affair type, right? So I would play games all through the night. And then when it's time for morning lectures, I'm really dizzy. So it affected my friend's result. But my result came out good. But my friend's result, and people started to say, ah.
They were playing games with you.
No, they were not really playing games with me, but they would, when they see me staying back at the hostel, they'd be like, there's no need. But they don't know that I listen and then I grab things a whole lot. So I don't really necessarily have to read everything. So, but then they struggled with that. So when I saw that it was affecting them, their own result, their own performance, I mean, you have to be a good friend. So I started to go to class. I started to be intentional about going to class. And also, them seeing me going to class also made them to go to class. And it also improved their grades as well. Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Simon, you say you had friends. Like, you had friends. So, impact of your friends in your life, positive, negative, and how did it affect you?
Okay, so I have my good friends. Like I said, there are a few. I see people that, okay, people, I bless God because quite early enough, God has caught me. So my circle of friends are Christians. So I see passion for God in them. So I see passion for excellence too. So I want to, at the same time, I want to work together with them to achieve a purpose. We pray together. We do things together that helps us to grow. So for me, that's what friendship has done for me. So I stick around them because I know that I'm safe. And I know that, okay, I went to school and I have two friends. We are three girls. We stayed together for 3 years. We didn't fight. We eat together. We didn't know ourselves from home. But we got to meet because we're Christians. We're able to live together, no issues. I bring the smallest food from home because I have stainless hands. And the other person brings plenty food. When we come together to school, we put everything together, and you can never tell whether we are from the same parent or not. We lived all through together, and because of that, our parents get to meet, and they are good friends. I can go to them. Okay, one of them is Dami. I can go to her house, and nobody will know that our mommy is not my mommy. I can go to Kemi's house. In fact, when I was getting married, our friendships dropped off on our parents. My friend's mom came to come and join the people that are cooking on my wedding all night. So this is what friends has done. And our mommy calls me as though she's my mom. This is what friendship has done for me. So I have true friendship, and I have many parents, as it were, that I can call mom, I can call dad, because these people, they were safe. Like I said, for me, friendship is a safe place. I can talk to them anything and everything, and they can also do the same for me. So if I need to talk to somebody, I know that I have a friend that, and they also, we spur ourselves to growth, to success, and to spiritual growth.
Wow, that's good. Now, yes, that's thank you very much. That speaks to the fact that we have to be intentional about our friendships. You have to choose the right kind of people. You have to decide that these are the values that I am looking out for in a friend. So somebody doesn't become your friend just because you met them somewhere, or we just connected, so that person is not my friend. Before you say somebody is a friend, you must have passed certain tests. Yes, certain tests that somebody is supposed to pass before you can say this person is my friend. And from what you said, Elizabeth, I picked the fact that emotional health issues. Let's talk about that a little bit. I believe that there are people who are going through some kind of emotional health issues today. They have friends that are drainers. Like every time you have these friends, you have headache, you're troubled, your heart is worried. You just, every time you leave them, something has left you. Every time you leave them, you just finish gisting or chatting and you are angry, you are bitter, you're stressed up just because you have somebody that is a friend. Now, the question is, why do people stick with negative friends that long? Why do you think people stick with negative friends? Why do they stay? Now, this person is toxic. This person will abuse you. Let's even in context of relationship. This person will beat you up. This person will talk down at you. You know, this person does things that makes you feel less of yourself. Why do people still stay in those kind of relationships? Marshall, let's start from there.
I would say self-awareness.
Okay.
The fact that this person is not aware of who the person is. So, one thing, if you don't know who you are, then you don't really know where you're going to. So if you don't know who you are, you don't know the type of friends that you should have around you.
Yeah.
So if you are not self-aware, then definitely you would meet the wrong ones, and you might feel you gain this copium from them, and it will drain you.
Wow. So, wow.
Serious. Self-awareness.
Okay. I want you to talk to that also. Why do people stay? And I'll come to yours. Why do you think people stay?
I would say, for me, I stayed because I didn't get to know myself early enough.
Wow.
I was not awesome in myself. I thought outside there is what makes me complete. So
you thought outside there
is what makes me a complete person.
Wow.
Because I have friends, because people validate my feelings. So I feel like I'm complete. Oh, someone is saying you are beautiful. I don't think I'm beautiful until I get to hear it from people.
Wow.
So I battled with that at the early stage of my life. From teenager coming into an adult, I battled with that a lot. My temperament was worn. Then also, I was not whole in myself.
Yeah.
But I met Jesus, and I met the Potter's family.
Wow. Good. Good. Wow. Thank you very much. Okay, so why do you think people stay that long?
Miss Elizabeth said it. It's on wholesomeness in yourself.
Yeah.
Because Mr. Marshall said self-awareness will make you to know, okay, I can keep this person and I should do away with this person. So if you know yourself and then you know, okay, if you know yourself, you won't stay around people that will influence you negatively.
Yeah.
But if you are looking for validation, like she said, you will always stay around everybody because you are always getting something. Even though they are giving you negative vibes, there's still that thing that they are doing that will make you to want to stick around them. And because of that, you will get so much negatives more than the positive you get. There's one thing that makes you stick to them, neglecting all the positive energy they bring. Basically.
Wow. Okay, very good. Mr. Clement, you want to say something friendship?
I view it from two perspectives.
Okay.
The way the two of them met could go a long way for one not to be able to detach
from the other
easily.
Okay.
Like I still have some of them around. Though when they are around, I have negative feelings.
Yeah.
But I try as much as possible to be myself, just like the first speaker said, awareness. So I try to be more of myself. I don't allow their actions or their words to get at me or to control me.
Yeah.
So I make sure I am active, attentive, and I'm just myself. Then the other way, in terms of relationship, I have come in contact with some people who have been battered, beaten, and why can't you leave? They have no reason, but they are just attached. So I observed that maybe because there was just one thing that person did
for
that
them.
That was lacking in their life then, that made them emotionally attached.
That's to the person.
So for you to help such a person, you have to attend to that issue.
Wow.
To disconnect them from such.
Wow, that's serious. So for instance, a guy is with a lady is with a guy, and the guy beats her up, but because he's the one that takes care of her,
yes,
she finds it difficult to leave.
To leave.
Wow, that's serious. Or she probably has self-esteem issues.
Low self-esteem issues.
And she has to stay with him. Every time she's around him, that's when she feels she's big.
That's where he or she got their value from.
Their value from. Connecting with that person is where their strength lies. So even if the person beats them inside and still does public display of affection outside, they will still stay. They will enjoy the beating in and the friendship out. Wow, this is deep. Now that's serious. And there are guys too like that. Your guys are the ones feeding you. You know, get cash one. And we just finished preaching in the church service how to break relationships, walk out of it. And the guy gets back home, no food to eat. He doesn't have where he's supposed to live. And the guys are the ones that own the house. They feed him. So to break out of that kind of relationship is very, very, very difficult. But what do you think? How can we help somebody who's in this service like that? I don't want to preach. I'm trying not to preach. I know a lot of things to say. But I want you people to speak to, because you feel like it's pastor now. Pastor has said plenty of things. So what do you think, and how do you think people can intentionally break out of those kind of relationships? And we will not mind to get audience reaction when the time comes. We want to hear a little bit.
So I would say, first off, like I said initially, self-awareness. But how do you get to know yourself? How are you sure this is who you are? We have to find ourselves in Christ Jesus, right, sir? So first step is being born again. Yeah. And then when you are born again, he has sent the comforter. So most times we are looking for comfort outside. That's just it. We are looking for comfort. But when you know that you have the comforter inside of you, the Holy Spirit inside of you, it changes a lot of things. It's a game changer.
Yeah.
So when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you know, he directs, he guides you. So to the point where the person, maybe he gains a lot from this type of person. Obviously, those are not the type of friends that are out there. We don't only have bad people who are willing to do good things. We have good people who are willing to do good things as well.
Yeah.
So now you have a new person in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Your type of lifestyle now attracts different type of people, now better type of people.
Yeah.
So these people that you've attracted, now you then start to see that because you have Christ, you have the Holy Ghost in you, he makes everything beautiful in his own time. So he starts to make these new people you are connecting with beautiful and probably friend for your own need, your immediate need at that point in time.
Yeah.
So I think the best thing is find Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes inside of you, and then you know who you are.
Okay, that's very good. I also want to speak to this particular issue. I think people need to learn how to take bold steps. You need to learn how to take bold steps. Even when you're not sure where help will come from, you need to just walk out first. The reason is because it's doing more harm. Whatever you are, whatever you become, will be transferred to your marriage and to your children. Did you hear what I just said? Whatever you are, as a result of the negative friendships that you have built over the years, it will be transferred to your marriage and it will influence your children. Now, I think a lot of people don't look into the future. And that's one of the reasons why they stay in those kind of toxic relationships. Because you are now becoming a very difficult person to deal with. You now have a lot of baggage. So when you get into a relationship with somebody, you are still behaving the same way. And sometimes you don't know why people can't even stay with you. People can't, you know, cope with you in a relationship because of the kind of person that you have become as a result of friendship. Then when you eventually succeed to get somebody to marry you, it's the same thing that you transfer to your marriage. Now, let's speak to this particular one before we get to relationship things real. There are people who have had sexual relations with a particular person and they are tied because it's the first time. Like, this is the person that slept with me first. And because of that, she doesn't know how to come out. She's tied. And maybe the guy now adds stuffs by promising marriage in the future. Do you understand what I'm saying to you now? And what would you advise? Do you think that the lady should continue because this person, now in that relationship, possibly that the guy has bad, what do you call it now, habits. Let's say he beats her up, or sometimes doesn't beat her up, but he's into one negative addiction or the other. Maybe he does porn, and she knows, but she cannot come out because he's the first person that I had sexual relations with. What do you think? What do you advise? How do you help somebody that you obviously can see that if you get married to this person, you are doomed? This person, okay, in fact, sometimes the person is even cheating. After the person has done that with you, then the person cheats or flirts around with other people, and you can see it. But because he's the first person that had sexual relations, I can't live anymore. And in fact, okay, how do you, what do you think we can do? Let's take this. What do you think you can, if a young girl comes to you now and she needs counsel in that area, what do you think you would do to that?
Thank you, Pastor Sir. Okay, so I know of a truth that if there's any sexual immorality, it's outside of Christendom. So if somebody is the person that sleeps with you first, it means that at that time you don't know Christ. So immediately you give your life to Christ, behold, you are a new creature.
Sorry, let me help you. Just a moment. They know Christ. Yes.
And they still fell into the sin. Okay, they know Christ, they fell into the sin. Of course, the devil has come in.
Yes.
Immediately you realize you fell into sin. The first step is you ask for forgiveness of sin.
Okay.
Then you need to take yourself away from that. Because the truth is, if you stay there, you will continue to sin. And then and you are calling yourself a Christian. You can't do that because in Christendom, we're supposed to maintain purity. So if you want to be pure, the first thing is to come out from that relationship. So once you come out from that relationship, of course, you are still attached. You are still feeling, is this person? This person. Then the self-awareness comes. I'm now a new creature. I can't continue to be attached to this relationship anymore. You can't be attached. The feelings will come, but then you just have to discard it because it's not healthy.
Okay.
That feeling is not healthy. But if after everything, the person gives their life to the person too, probably the person is also a Christian, and you fell together into the sin, you come to the realization together. I'm talking, this one is before, that's before marriage.
Before marriage.
You come to the realization together, you rededicate yourself together, you can seek counsel. Because you can't help yourself at this point. You seek counsel. And when you seek counsel, your counselor will teach you how to heal. If this person is now the person for you, it makes it beautiful. But if it is not the person for you, the only way to maintain your sanity and keep your relationship with God is to break it.
Wow. Good. Okay. So, I want to believe that we have heard that, because I know a lot of people have what they call soul ties. You are attached to a particular person because the person had sexual relations with you and it was supposed to be a mistake. But what's supposed to be a mistake now has become your normal. And the Bible says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. Now, if you find yourself in that position and the person has now, the bad part is when the person now promised you marriage. But you can't even be sure that the marriage is safe because there are certain things attached to it. Probably the person has an addiction you're not comfortable with. The person has a lifestyle you're not comfortable with. But we have made a mistake together, but I just have to stay here. See, if you consider your future and know who you are, that you are special, you're not cheap. And sometimes I think it's ladies who have low self-esteem that stay there. they feel like they are not good again. Nobody that is that makes sense can come to my life again. So let me just continue like that. You need to wake up and tell yourself, I cannot stay here any longer. This is not where I belong. I want to believe that that message has been passed to somebody. Yes, and seek counsel, because you can't even help yourself. You need somebody to talk sense to your head. You're not seeing again. You are blind. You're not seeing. You are blind. You need somebody to open your eyes with strong words, encourage you, be bold enough to say, if I lose the relationship, I have not lost myself. I have not lost my life. I will still find myself. And I think that will go a long way to really help. Let's get into marriage conversations and communication in relationship. There are a lot of things to talk about friendship, but for time's sake, I'm just looking at the time here. Common problems people face in relationships. What are the common problems you think people face in marriages? Marriage. Now, those that are not married, let me ask them. Let's have an idea of what they think. Then we'll now come to those that are married. So, what do you think the problem couples face in relationship? What do you think the major problems?
I'll say communication.
Communication?
Yes.
Okay.
How about you?
Communication.
You're not married, but how do you know communication is a major problem?
So,
you have been communicating in your relationships.
Yes, in relationships.
Okay, so even at relationship level, communication can be challenging. Okay, we'll come back to that. Mr. Clement, what are the common challenges you think people have in relationship? Should we start with, do you think communication is one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, should we start with communication before we go to other ones?
Communication is key.
Key. Okay, so what about communication causes these problems? What are the things around communication that will always cause this problem?
Let me quickly chip in. The two are from two different family backgrounds.
Okay.
So we have two different...
We need to hear you clearly. Can you just bring your mic a little close?
Yeah. We have two different communications.
Yeah.
So, and when coming together, they need to bring the way they communicate to the table.
Okay.
So as to have, so as to synchronize and
yeah.
have their own communication model. So I think couples must work on their means of communication.
Okay.
Understand yourself. Be one with one another.
Okay. So that means if I'm coming from a different background from this other person, there's a way they communicate in their own family.
Yes, sir.
There's something that he or she has seen their husband, their father, and their mother do.
Yes, sir.
And possibly you have that template and that's what you are working with.
Yes, sir.
Then this other person is coming from another background. My father and mother relate differently. My siblings will relate differently.
Yes, sir.
And I have picked my own template. So are you're saying that when they come together in marriage, they are supposed, in fact, from the relationship days,
yes,
they should have been able to put it side by side and start asking questions. Oh, this is how you came up. This is how, how do we now do our own? Because it's possible that your own will conflict with my own.
Yes.
Mr. Mom, what do you think?
Thank you, sir. So I'll say the problem is communication is general. But what causes the problem is miscommunication.
Miscommunication.
Just like you said, we have different backgrounds. The way they say show our rights in his family, the way they understand it, is different from the way in my family we understand show our rights. Sorry to speak here, but are you all right? In one family, they will see it as, okay, there's no problem with it. Some other family will be like, how will you ask me, are you all right?
That means you are not right.
So, the style from their family is different. So when that's where the miscommunication comes in from. So when we come together, we need to align, like you said, we need to align. In my family, when they say, are you all right? They're asking about, like, they care. But in some other family, are you all right? Means, like, your head is turning. So we need to come together and understand ourselves. So when we come to understanding, then the miscommunication is reduced. It's not going to be eliminated. It's going to reduce and reduce from time to time unto time until eternity, because we cannot all learn to communicate perfectly. But we learn to improve from time to time in marriage, okay, as the marriage progresses.
So your own marriage, for as an example now, how both of you in your relationship, how your husband is an introvert and you are an extrovert. Abby, introvert, extrovert?
I'm in between, sir.
You are in between. Okay, so how did both of you learn to communicate with each other? Have you had challenges in your communication? Are there things that happen in your communication that really, you know, just let's start by, just tell us something that your husband did at one point that pissed you off and it was a miscommunication thing, or let's just hear something.
My husband is an introvert. He doesn't talk. But I want to talk.
I just said you're an extrovert and he said no. But I want to talk.
Okay. So being an extrovert, I said I'm not an extrovert.
Extrovert
because I don't talk. But when anything concerns me, I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So that's why I said I'm not an extrovert because I don't talk. But if it concerns me, I want to talk about it. But he's an introvert, he doesn't want to talk. So there's a problem already.
Why is there a problem? Why should somebody talk? Somebody does not want to talk. Why should the person talk? Is it by force to talk?
Okay, thank you, sir. So, if we don't talk, he won't know what is going on inside of me. I won't know what is going on inside of him. So, if we don't talk, there's also miscommunication because in my head, I am thinking. 1,001 things are running through my mind. And I also imagine that in my imagination, 1,001 things are running through his mind. I may be wrong. Nothing might be running through his mind. And in fact, majority of the time when we have misunderstanding, it comes out that I'm the only one imagining things.
You're the only one thinking by yourself.
But then, if we don't come together to talk about it, I don't get to know that nothing was running through his mind. So when we have misunderstanding like that, okay, there's one rule that has helped us from before we got married, even until now. We pray together.
Okay.
So when we have issues, everybody will be maintaining their lane until it's time to pray. So when it's time to pray,
the men will now join.
So when it's time to pray, we can't be comfortable praying when we're having issues. So now come together. Why did you do like that now? But I didn't do anything. You won't say, but I didn't do anything. But you did something. And okay, so we now bring it to the table and discuss it. Oh, when you said that, that's not what I heard. That's not what I understand it to be. Oh, okay. Then we now explain to ourselves what he was trying to communicate to me. I also understand what I understand that made me acted the way I acted. Because when things happen, of course, it's the women that's always acting weird.
Drama.
It's the woman that's always acting weird. So I'll now tell him what I understood and made me acted weird. Then we'll come together, we'll apologize to ourselves.
Why don't you talk? Talk. What is wrong with talk? Talk is easy. We have mouth. Why do introverts? No, I know they are introverts, yes. But relationship. Do you think everything is worth saying, or you think there are some things just live? Why does it happen like that?
Pastor, sir, I talk.
You see?
But my talk, I prefer communicating in true play.
Okay.
So I play a lot, I joke a lot, but not with her. Because there are some funny play I could play that may hurt her feeling.
Okay.
So I try as much as possible to reserve myself a little.
So all the play you have in this life to play, you have not played it.
I have not played it.
After this service, play it. She now understands. Okay. So when we don't talk, what impact does it have on our relationship when we don't talk? For instance, I think you'll be able to answer that. When your husband doesn't talk, how does he affect you?
Create distance.
Distance.
Us. Yes, sir.
Okay.
It means I don't get to know all the sides of him, because with communication, when he talks, I get to know, oh, this side of him is amazing.
Yeah.
He gets to reveal the different parts of him every day. So, but if we don't talk, we are distant. And let me say here, majority of women, whether introverts or extroverts, wants to be talked to. So if you don't talk in marriage, somebody will talk to the woman. And some men too, they are they are moved by words. So if the woman says, I don't want to be talking, I don't want to be talking, somebody will talk to your husband somewhere. And then the people that are talking to people are the people you get connected to.
Yeah.
So communication brings connection. So if you are not talking, there's disconnection already, whether you know it or not. So the gap keeps growing and growing and growing.
Okay. So we have to talk.
Yeah.
Let's ask the singles about talking, since they will still have to do a lot of talking in their lives. Mr. Marshall, how has talking affected your relationships? Your relationship. I know you had relationship, but you have relationship. How has talking affected? Did you at any point have communication differences, and how did it affect the relationship?
So, it actually led to a relationship ending. Actually,
okay,
because the person was a poor communicator.
Wow.
So I can't be in your head.
I can't be in your head.
You can only tell me what's in your head. Okay. So if you don't tell me what's in your head, I can't know what's in your head, and I can't act. So communication makes you understand this person. So first of all, communicate. Once you communicate, you understand. Once you understand, you know what to embrace and what not to embrace. So most times when this person is not communicating, you don't know how to feel. You don't know how to feel. Is this person okay? Are you not okay? In my house, we like to talk.
Yeah.
So my mom is instilled it in everybody. My mom is a talker. My dad is the calm one. But all of my siblings, we like to talk. We're almost always on call, almost every day. Family group call, because almost everybody's not around. So we're always trying to check up on each other. And then I meet this person, and you don't really communicate. And that's your upbringing, your background. So at some point, I'm trying to say, okay, why not we talk this way? Why not we do these things? But it was a hard thing, and probably the person didn't see it.
Perhaps you're talking too much, or you talk a lot too much.
Not really talk too much. You can never talk too much in a relationship, I feel.
Oh, you can never talk too much in a relationship?
I feel.
Ah.
Why I said you can never talk too much, because you're trying to, talking is expressing. You're trying to express how you feel, how you see certain things. Obviously, you must come to understanding that, okay, this person is not in this mood to speak. But then again, when this person is in the mood to speak, always talk to this person. That's how I see it, sir.
Wow. When the person is in the mood to speak, you open up and talk to the person.
Sir.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because communication leads to openness. If I'm not open with you, I don't think we can go anywhere. So I'm an open person, I'm an open slate. So I want to be open to you, so that way you too, you are open with me. And then being open to each other leads to accountability. I'm accountable to you because you are open to me, and I know what hurts you. I know how you feel. So I'm trying to be accountable. And if you don't talk to me, I can't be accountable.
Okay.
To an extent.
So, okay, thank you very much. As a melancholic person that you are, what's communication to you in the context of relationship with?
Communication is key, and communication helps me to debunk assumptions.
Communication helps you to debunk assumptions.
So if we don't communicate, there's a higher possibility that I can assume that this is what this means. So for me, communication really helped my relationship so much. I was able to say, you did this, and this was what I felt. I felt like you don't want me to talk to you.
Okay.
He's like, no, actually, it was because we were here at this point in time, and I felt like that was not the right time to say such a thing. And assumptions have killed a lot of relationship.
Yeah.
You have a friend. You think they said something bad to you. Can you ask the person?
Not even, let me cut you a little bit. Not even romantic relationship,
yes,
right now. Just
like,
friendship.
Just friendship. Like, help the person help you. Ask questions. What did you mean? So it makes things easier for the both of us. But if you don't ask and you assume, you are piling up issues.
Yeah.
And then one day, you guys are having an argument, and you just say, that was how you told me last month. And the person is like, I had an issue. I once prayed for a friend of mine. And in Yoruba, our mothers make a prayer of, you'll be better than me. So it was her birthday, and I told her, you will be better than your parents. She said, amen. It was fine. But Pastor Sir, a year after, we had a discussion on that issue. She was angry because she asked me the question in her context, what did my parents ever do to you that makes you think
Wow.
I should be better than them. So I was afraid. I mean, this happened last year on your birthday. You could have asked me. Every mother prays for their children to be better. You could have, maybe my Yoruba was shaking, but ask me. You could have told me, and you held it on. Like, she was hungry because of that.
Wow. You'll be better than your parents. So she interpreted it as, maybe she has seen my parents do something bad, and she wants me not to look like my parents. So she's praying for me that I'll be better than my parents. Maybe after the prayer, she should have just said, sorry, that prayer was better than your parents. I don't understand.
It helped me. I was so scared.
Communication. Wow, that's key. So, okay. Communication. We can't talk everything about communication. Let's just, the last one for today will be conflict resolution, conflict management. I believe that as couples, you would have had, one thing or the other that you had to resolve. Conflict management. Now, how do you resolve conflicts in your marriage sense? Like, both of you are married now. How do you resolve conflicts?
Thank you, Pastor, sir. The way we resolve conflicts, we rightly said, before we got married, we have discussed some certain key issues.
Yes.
And we've come to conclusion on our own templates. So how we resolved issue, like my wife rightly said, I don't like to talk because I am word sensitive, and I try to reserve any word that might want to come out from me because it might be weighty. So I'll try to suppress it. Mm-hmm. So that's my way of staying calm.
Okay.
Not to talk. Because the moment I talk, I might boil. And once I boil, words might pour out. So I'll try to
keep quiet.
So maybe after the first day, the second day, the Holy Spirit will say, go and hold her, Olga. But I'm
because
stubborn.
You like to play.
But I'm stubborn a little.
Okay.
I'll have this. Why should I be the first
to go and hold somebody?
So eventually she will walk up to me and we'll try to resolve it. We'll bring it to the table, we'll dissect it. Then at the end, I'm sorry.
So who says I'm sorry first?
She forced me to say I'm sorry.
Wow. Oh, that's beautiful. Miss Samuel, you want to say something to that? You like to say sorry?
I said everything.
Okay. Now, we have seen couples quarrel in front of their children. I want us to talk to that. What do you think happens when married people are quarreling in front of their children, whether young kids or teenagers, adults? What are the things? Have you seen that before? Have you witnessed it before? Maybe your own parents or your friends or family. What was it like growing up in your own house when it has to do with conflict management, your parents, and what you observed?
So growing up, I felt my parents were best friends. At some point, I thought they were siblings.
Wow.
Then when I started to grow up, at some point, age of understanding, you then start to understand. Then you now start to see, oh, really, dude, these people really have back and forth. Yeah, like you say, it's new, but like you said severally, we should always step away from, we shouldn't be intermediaries.
Yes.
Between our parents. We shouldn't be the ones, the peacemakers. They should find how to make peace within themselves. Because if you start to do it, then you start to have this favoritism for this party or that party. So it's best for the parents to resolve their own issues by themselves. Yes. So, growing up and seeing parents, not really my parents, they are
your friends,
lovebirds, especially my dad. He's the one that I say, I'm like, but she did this thing, she did this. He said, don't worry, I understand. So is that loving type of person?
Yeah.
I'll be better, like her parents, I'll be better.
Yeah.
So, I feel when children see these things in their parents, it's a mindset So they have it, and then they feel this is the way to show love, because they felt, okay, their parents were in love at this point, now we're acting this way. So they carry it on, it's like a badge of honor. They carry it on their chest, and then they go out there and they are always seeking to inflict, I mean, to repeat what they had seen in even their friendship and also their relationship.
Okay, you want to say something, Elizabeth?
I also think
that your mind.
I also think that influences people a lot. It makes people think that if you don't fight, it is not normal.
Okay.
So many people have this idea that, I've once heard something, they said that a friend that does not fight, that means they are not friends.
Okay.
We can disagree.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that we always have to fight to prove our love to each other.
Yeah.
We don't have to fight.
Yeah.
It was not recorded in the Bible that Jesus had a time when he wanted to prove love to his disciples and he had to fight them. But there were times when he was not happy with one or two things they did. There's a way to communicate. So you don't allow what you see your parents do influence you. And do not be the one that is, oh, mommy, you can tell me what daddy did. Oh, so daddy did this. And then you think you have the right to show daddy pepper. So you think you have the right because you feel like mommy is being cheated. So you feel you have the right to inflict punishment on daddy. It is very wrong. It is their own relationship.
Yeah.
Allow them to work on it. The best you can do for a married couple who fights a lot is to pray for them.
Yeah.
Allow them. Do not be the, I can fight for my mom or I can fight for my dad. So I will not give my mommy food because she did this to daddy. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Despite that kind of thing, the child should just stay and know that.
Yes, just.
Okay, what do you have to say to that? Your parents, or the kind of home you grew up, then your own relationship to you have to argue in front of your children. What do you think it does?
Well, thank you, Pastor Sir. In my own home, we don't argue in front of our children.
Yeah.
Because we discuss it.
Yeah.
So that has been our model, our principle. But let me chip in from the experience of my parents. They never fought in front of us. They never argued in our presence while we were growing up.
Wow.
So, and I can say that from ages of till when we were matured, we never discovered that maybe they argue one reason or the other. They walk, like I said, when they are birds of the same feather.
Mm.
Not until when we are matured enough at times my dad will just call, so for you. You know, then, and maybe the mom too, we called, but daddy alone, don't mind this. So we just say, sorry, daddy, sorry mommy. Mm-hmm. What caused the fight? They are playing with
they're
you.
Playing.
So,
okay. How about your own?
Thank you, Pastor Sir.
Yeah.
In my marriage, my husband has told me, don't correct me in the presence of my children. And I have taken the instruction
straight.
So I know not to, whatever it is, in front of the children, we don't display any, if we have disagreements, we don't. So when we get into our room, we can settle ourselves. Or if my first daughter is a little, she's an extrovert, so she wants to come, daddy, go to your room. Mommy and daddy are talking. So we're like that. But I grew up in a Muslim family at a younger age, so... And it was a busy environment. I don't get to see them talk or fight or anything. Everybody's on their own.
They were not close or something?
There's no time for all this.
There's no time for love things.
There was no time for all of this. It's a typical, local kind of life.
Yeah.
So they don't display all these things in our presence. We don't even know. It's like a business family. Everybody's on their business. Then I left home to stay with my guardian. And I learned a lot there. And in fact, one of the things I learned from mommy, because she's my mom, is anything that has to do with her husband, she can break somebody's head.
Wow.
Don't talk ill of her husband, even if the husband is doing wrong.
Mm.
It's not in your place
this.
To say she can break your head. So she values her husband so much. And I've not seen them argue in outside, but there was a day because they took their family member, so they took me like their first daughter. In fact, what they tell people is, this is my firstborn. So there was a day I barged into them arguing, so I had to step out. So that was when I knew that, okay, these people serve the fight. Because if you see them outside, they are lovebirds. In fact, till today, they're about 60. Daddy calls mommy Omogi. So there was a day he came to my office to do something, and he had to talk to the wife. And the person he came to talk to said, ah, we like daddy in here. He called his wife and he's saying, Omogi, they are doing this. So I said, ah, that's how they do. So that's where I grew up. So when he immediately told me, don't correct me in the presence of my children, I picked that because yeah, I've seen it anyway. So it was not hard for me to adjust to.
Okay. Then let me thank you very much. Let me speak to that. For those of us, a good number of us in church this morning, we have married people, we have singles. For those of us that have parents that always quarrel in front of you, and your mom has to say something to say, okay, how do you say it again? Warn your dad or warn your mom or see what your dad does right now. It is not your business. Hello, church, are we here together? It is not your business. When your dad was marrying your mom, you saw her. When your mom was marrying your dad, they saw themselves. They are going to plant a seed that will affect your own marriage and the way you relate with your spouse in the future. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying this morning? Because you cannot settle two grown-ups that will eventually settle themselves and they will now determine your own life. So allow them, when they quarrel, it's okay. Well, don't try to react in such a way that it makes it look like you're favoring your mom or you're favoring your dad. Indirectly, it will sow a seed in your own heart, and you will not know when your children are growing up right in front of you, and because your daughter is now 14 or 15 or 16, you will just say exactly the same thing. See what your dad did. Go and talk to your dad. As in, how will I talk to my dad? Who am I? And some of you are very smart, maybe sharp-mouthed people saying, Daddy, we want to talk. I don't know what you want to discuss with your father. Go and pray for them. Don't allow their quarrels and their arguments and all that affect the way you see marriage. You possibly coming from a home where your parents quarrel a lot in public, but you can use that as a motivation to say, I will not have a home where we do this. Maybe God planted you in that family to learn how not to make marriage, how marriage does not work, so that you'll be a counselor, a professional, or somebody that can help many other people in their lifetime. Then you eventually allow that to get to you. You now bought into that, or your father is a lion of Judah, so you know you get married and you are going to be a lion. To avoid that, then for parents who quarrel in front of your children, please stop that. You're already schooling them, you're already teaching them. That's enough university, that's enough. They will have a PhD, you know, before you know it, and they will behave the same exact way. So please, let's ensure that we avoid all those kind of things. We're going to take audience reaction very fast because of time. Thank you very much. Let's listen to the audience and see their own reaction. We want questions and all that. How many of us enjoyed the discussion? Does it make any sense to you? Wow, thank you very much. So, ushers, please help us. Let's know. Are we using Slido? Okay. It's on the screen, Slido. So you just go on google.com, Slido. Then you type 2374. Then you can type in whatever it is you want to type in. We will react to it. We'll respond to it, rather. So, yeah, I'm waiting for... Okay. Someone who wants to respond live, please, you can go ahead. I can't see anything. Okay, someone wants to respond live. Let's, you can go ahead. I can't see anything. I can't see. Second. Second room.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just want to make some contribution on everything that I've had so far. Well, let me just pick it from this question, which says, just as you have rightly asked, that why do people cannot easily remove themselves permanently from an abusive relationship? And I think people have said one of them, low self-esteem. Because when, I found out that when people are in relationship, they feel that all that the person that they are in relationship with, they are actually doing them favor. So they tend to be in that relationship. So that is low self-esteem on its own. And secondly, I think laziness mentality. They actually has this laziness mentality. Maybe they're actually getting something from that person. It can be in terms of finance. It can be a kind of emotional support. So they cannot be able to work out for themselves, to do things for themselves, especially when it comes to finance. You know, they can actually go there and work and get money and, you know, take care of themselves. Just because of that laziness mentality, they will not want to take such step. And you said both step, but I think it's willpower. They don't have that willpower to just say, okay, enough is enough. Let me just call it a quit and let me just leave this relationship, regardless of any repercussion or consequences. And another thing, I think people ought to discover who they really are. And I was saying, how can you actually discover yourself? You know, one of the ways is exposure. Meet people, have friends, get new skills. You know, this will give you a kind of confidence. Do you understand? Mm. To make sure that you have this, you know, high esteem.
Yeah.
And another thing, you talk about communication. No, you ask in a way of question that what are the common mistakes in relationship? I can't remember.
Mm.
Is that what? And I'm surprised that the only thing that was said is communication.
No, there are many. There are many. For time's sake, we just talked. Second service, we're going to talk about
three. Let me just take, I think one of them, apart from communication, is just as our brother rightly said, is very key.
Yes.
Because, and our brother say, you cannot know what is inside someone's head until the person actually tells you.
Yes.
Then you will now know. Then you now know how to react. I think the second thing is self-centeredness. Self-centeredness. If you are entering into a relationship, you need to understand that you shouldn't be selfish. You shouldn't be selfish. You must consider that person's feeling, consider everything about that person, know how to apply yourself to the person.
Yeah.
You know, when you think of that person and you think of yourself, you know, by so doing, that relationship automatically will work out. When you don't always put yourself first, you just want to be right by all means. You don't want to listen to that person.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. So let's respond. Thank you very much. Let's respond to the stuffs on Slido. Slido helps us in such a way that whatever you want to say, you have said it already. So we're going to be saying it from here. Are we good with that? Yes. So the first reaction here is, when children see parents continually argue in front of them, it causes their mindset on marriage to be changed. And it reduces their respect for their parents. That's true. When you're reporting your mom or your dad, it reduces respect for their parents. We also have parents need to be careful of what they say in front of their children. For example, backbiting others. It affects the way the children view those parents. So I want us to pay attention to this, especially those of us that are parents and those who are parents. Everybody will be parents. It's better you learn the right things now so that you can have it work for you. There are questions. How can I address my soon-to-be mother-in-law's intrusive behavior in my relationship, even though my fiancé has tried to correct her? Okay, your fiancé has tried to correct your mother-in-law-to-be, but she's always intruding. She always wants to have her way in the relationship. Now, I don't know, but let's put it this way. Mothers, especially towards their sons, they have this attachment. And when you are coming in as a woman, she assumes that you will take her place and that position she occupies in the heart of the boy. So she sees you as a rival. One way you can deal with that is to find and understand her love language and start speaking to her the way she understands love. And try as much as possible to do it so much that she's almost comparing the way her son loves her with the way you have now come to love her. It will make her embrace you. Initially, she will be tough. Some people are very tough naturally. She will be playing hard. But if it is her love language, she would break. It's only a matter of time. Now, if she's intruding, that means she wants to be an active part of everything. You and your husband have to discuss it. That despite her, your husband to be is not supposed to be a baby boy. You're not a boy, you're a man. And as a man, you're going to put your mother in her position. Your mother should understand that she has done her own marriage with her husband and they're giving birth to children. That's their template. Both of you have developed your own template. And as a man, you can't stand allow your mother talk to your wife anyhow. If it's your wife-to-be, you will know how your mother is treating her from the relationship. She has a lot of work to do to win her mother-in-law's heart. That's very good. But it's not something that you have to argue about and say, you are the one. You have to, no. As a lady, go the extra mile. Show that you love her. Let her see that some of the things, in fact, then you will now do it in such a way that you as the man, you begin to make your mother know that, it's my wife that is even suggesting this. My wife is interested in this for you. My wife, no problem. That way you are selling your spouse to your mother. And it makes your mother buy into that person. So that's intruding. Your husband has a part to play to control it by talking to his mother. You're not the one that will talk to his mother. He's the one that will go and sit down and discuss with the mom and say, mommy, it's enough. You cannot just wake up and bring agbo to this house. I will just start drinking agbo. You know, mommy, we're not interested in this one. I love you so much. We love you so much. But if you have to go say it as a lady, you have scattered everything. Even if you are married, you are not the one that has the right to talk to anybody's mother. Let the person face their mother and manage the difference. You understand? Yeah. And you will play your part of love. In fact, be the one settling the quarrel between the mother and the son. And don't let them settle quarrel for you. Do you get what I'm trying to say here now? That solves a lot of problem in that area. How can you handle a family that gives off negative energy while wanting to stay connected? How can you handle a family that gives off negative energy while wanting to stay connected? I don't understand that, but somebody understands it. That's, you can help. It's not very clear to me. Yep.
I think the person is trying to ask the question, how do you handle when you are trying to be positive and then these people in return do not accept you, or rather they don't see you, like they don't celebrate the who you are. For example, saying, how are you guys doing? I'm doing fine. Jesus has been good. And they're like, Oga, just be fine. Just be
carry
your day.
Okay.
Just everybody hold their self.
Oh, it takes a lot of time to buy in to people. It takes time to win the heart of people. Sometimes they are trying to observe you. In fact, there are some elder sisters in the family that would intentionally be hard to see your limits. Sometimes, but don't be like that kind of elder sister anyway. Yes, don't be like that. Don't try to get anybody to any tough point. Love will always win. But per adventure, you meet people like that. It is also your duty to give time to it. You don't expect them to just embrace you day one, day two. Some families are not like that. Some families will embrace you day one. They love you. Some families, it will take 6 months. They are still observing you. Some of them, especially if you are going to get married to somebody that the guy is an introvert, they believe that you are coming to control his destiny. The guy doesn't talk. The guy is very calm. And you are the extrovert. The mind they have already is that, you see, person will go chop all our money. Person will go take everything. Person will go. That's the mind they have. So you need to understand that you have a part to play to show them that no, that's not what I'm here to do. I know someone who was about to marry into a family and they thought the guy was a gold digger because the girl had a lot of money. You want to marry a girl that is rich. As a guy, that's how they will treat you. The father will push you. The girl brings money. She does things for her parents. She's there for them. Then you are coming. You always buy unripe banana that is overripe. You buy apple that has issues. You know, and they are just looking at you that this kind of person won't marry. You have to show that you have a future the picture of that vision that you have, the person that you are, that hardworking person, let every other part of you show that I'm not a gold digger. I might not have it all right now, but I have so much that I am working on, and I will make you people proud. And you might have to start playing that part. If you don't play that part, they assume that you are a gold digger. You just come here to take our daughter, and very soon we'll not get anything from her again. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? So I don't know if I think we answered that question. So how do you do when only one person is making efforts to make a relationship work? Mr. Momi, you want to say something to that?
Thank you, sir. If only one person is making the effort to make the relationship work, is actually very draining. But the way out is still to talk about it. There's something that brought you together. So when you bring that thing that brought you together, you talk about that thing, then you enlighten. So the other person, sometimes, it's not as if they don't want to make the relationship work, but they feel the relationship is actually working. So you now enlighten the person, okay, these are the things that will make this relationship work. These are the things we need to do together that will make us to go far. Then the person can understand. Because I know that not two people will come into a relationship and the other one just wants to drain the relationship. No. Everybody actually wants to make it work. How to make it work is a problem. And that's why the other person is feeling that it's just me that wants to make this relationship work. The other person still wants to make it work. But they feel maybe it's working or they don't know how. So you that know how to explain to the person, enlighten the person, bring to the person to a place of understanding and mutual agreement how to make it work. Nobody is in a relationship to break the relationship or to break the other person. They may just not know how to make it work. And now that you know, you encourage the person. Sometimes it's good to buy books because if you are talking too much, it may become... your own is too much. Buy books for the person. And if you have seen, okay, this person has this weakness, buy a book for the person. Don't be the one that do all the talking. When you buy a book for the person reads, the person comes to an understanding, and then it makes it easier for the both parties.
Okay, let me add to that. The first thing you need to do is to talk to the person about it, that you feel like you are the only one in this relationship. Communication is key. I'm calling, you don't call. When I'm talking, you say, okay, you finish talking 5 sentences. Wow, okay. No, so you need to tell the person, let the person know that this is how I feel in this relationship. I feel I'm the only one doing everything. I feel I'm talking, you're not talking. Is it that you're not interested? And sometimes for some people, it is a sign that they are not interested. Now, let me say this. For ladies, ladies will not give you attention until they are very interested in you. So if a girl is not yet talking, she's still saying, play your game well. I know they feel the love. You know, there's nothing, your love, not the shark person. That's what she's saying. So she will be a little hard sometimes because she wants you to come on, let's see what you have. And you're not forthcoming. As a man, you cannot be bolocious. You have to have some action. Do you get what I'm saying here right now? So then for guys, when a guy starts talking to you as a lady, be careful the way you talk, because he's not talking to you because he loves you. He's talking because he wants to know your mindset, how you think, how you reason, your own kind of person. Then you begin to spill all the stories of your family, your destiny, your past relationship, how you did not heal, how as you are like this now. In fact, I'm not very okay the way I see, like as I am like this. Some ladies even go to the point where they talk, anybody that will marry me will try. Then those people that post a lot of things online too, you always post things like, you have to be man enough to come to my space. You will not see man. Marriage go hard for you. Because even confident men, they don't have anything to prove. Because a confident man will not even come your way because he feels like you're a rival, an attack you be. Then the one that is less confident is even afraid of coming because you have already said that this is what you want. And the kind of people you are thinking of will not come your way. You must understand that as an extrovert that is super energetic, you most likely will be attracted to a very calm person. And if you are somebody that is very quiet and calm, you most likely will be attracted to somebody who is extroverted. So be careful the things you also post. Sometimes you are posting the list of what a man that must come to chapter. I'm not saying it's bad, but just know that your journey is a little far. it's better the person even comes, then we talk about it. At least the person has made efforts, than for you to post it out there already. And sometimes they even snap what you used, you posted, and put it on Yaba Left to start seeing how she thinks. May God help us in Jesus' name. You know, so another question here is, I have a female friend. We are so cool. I am her only male friend for now. Likewise, do I expect the relationship to go to the next level or not? It's your decision. Who will help you take it to the next level? Brother, see, you are the man, and you are the one that will determine how the relationship moves. If you take the action to take it to the next level and she's not responding, then you pile down a little bit. Then you re-strategize. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Because you want to take it to the next level. So you are the one that will develop a strategy for taking it to the next level. It's not the lady. You are the one in the place to determine how it will go to the next level. Her own is to respond. If she's giving a negative response, then you communicate by getting to know why. What's happening? Is it that she don't... Be straightforward. Is it that she don't love you or something? She said, no, not like I don't love you. And ladies, be very straightforward. If it's not your kind of person, whatever it is, find a very polite and respectful way to say it. And let the person move on with their life, because there's somebody else that will love them. Instead of wasting their time doing drama, at the end of the day, you say, this one just a waste of time. You now tell your friends, you now carry his picture, you're showing everybody. That's how somebody will be showing somebody else your own picture everywhere. So what you don't want to harvest, don't sow the seeds. Do we understand that? Yes. Before we call it a wrap this morning, let me take this last one. How can one deal with feeling both happy and sad when a friend posts about their progress, disturbing your peace, more like an anxiety issue? You're saying, but there are some of us, you feel that way too. True friends, as it were, are supposed to be excited at your progress. But don't fail to understand that in the human system, your progress and moving forward can be a threat to another person. Are we here together? For instance, we are friends. It's possible that the person is scared that if you move forward, you will leave them behind. So they don't know if they should be happy for you or be sad. But an ideal friend that is a child of God and understands love is supposed to be happy for you, because your progress is my progress. Your advancement is my advancement. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? But you too must be showing it. Whoever wants to have friends must show himself friendly. Every time you advance and make progress, what benefits does your progress and advancement add to your friends? If it is not adding anything to them, you are a threat to them. Now, it doesn't have to add anything to them, but people know, and you are not the type that now block them. You don't chat with them again. You see them in the public and say, hi, bye-bye, hi. You must still, if you embrace them, they will be happy that when you get up one day, you will bring them along. But if you just push them aside and you still claim to be friends, they also will be threatened. So you, as that person who is moving forward, ensure that you also carry your friends along. Smile, play. It's not something they should be entitled to, but you are the one that display that. Then those of us who are, you probably at the end where your friend is moving forward. True love. If you love a person genuinely and they are making progress in life, you should be happy. And one of the ways to cure it, start praying more for their progress, more progress. Start praying for them that they will go forward more, that they will do well. Talk about their progress and tell people you're excited about it. Talk about the things happening in their life in a positive light. It has a curative, what do you call it now, stuff that it does to your own mind. It begins to cure your anxiety. It cures your worry. It cures your fear. It cures that depression. Because what I am excited about, I cannot suffer from. I cannot be suffering for what I am happy about. I cannot be suffering from what I am part of and making happen. Does it make any sense to us right now? So you want to post the person's progress on your status. You want to talk about the person in a very good light. And the more you do that, the more the devil feels very bad. Because the goal of the devil is to make both all of you feel useless. Like, they hate the person, quarrel, you know, and start fighting. Look at social media today. People will start talking different things about themselves. Another person will come and respond. Even pastors. This one will come and respond to the altar. I saw one man of God. It was his friend before. A man of God somewhere. It was his friend before. He said this. You know, we don't think about that. We are just moving forward. All those things, they are drama. Love from a sincere heart is what we must have towards each other. And if you are a friend here, you gossip your friend. Stop that. Anybody who gossips another person to you is also gossiping you to another person. And that's why the way to cure gossip is, as soon as somebody starts talking about another person, the question is, do you think we should talk this thing, discuss this thing with the person? He says, no, let's not talk about it. Because every gossip poisons you. Every gossip begins to determine the way you react to that person. Every gossip determines the way you begin to feel about that person. And sometimes, you have not even met the person. You have not had anything. The person has not done anything to you. You just carry the matter on your head. It's not your business. And let nobody poison your heart about another person if they are not willing to help the person or say anything good about it or how to help the person out of that situation. Does it make any sense to us today? Thank you very much. We'll not be able to take much in this service again. In the second service, we'll have another set of couples and another one. Let's appreciate the couples that came here now. Thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Clement Fabi. Thank you very much. And Marshall, thank you very much. Elizabeth, thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of these life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.